As a CEO or entrepreneurial leader, you want to focus on overall vision, alignment, and running a great business. You want your business to run efficiently with less effort and little pain. Welcome to Operationally Speaking with Sergio Samel. Sergio and his very special guests will give you the tools to run your business well and gain the momentum to break through to the next level. Now, here is your host, Sergio Samel.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to episode number 72 of Operationally Speaking, where we exclusively focus on the art and science of operating entrepreneurial businesses. I'm Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm the principal EOS implementer as well as Colby and predictive index specialist at Get Business Momentum, where we help owners, CEOs, and leaders of small to mid-sized entrepreneurial companies like yours get what you want out of your business by implementing a simple, well-proven, complete system for operating your company. As a result, you regain control while dramatically increasing the value of your business. In the last episode, I spent this time with Dr. Lisa Lang, foremost expert in the theory of constraints and president of the Science of Business. Lisa and I spoke about how to maximize profits in a business that operates under some form of constraint, such as, for example, a lack of staff or resources or capacity or really anything else. She explained the basics of the theory of constraints as developed by Dr. Goldratt and described in his best-selling book, The Goal. We discussed leverage, why capacity requirements are often being wrong, how standard accounting allocations are not only wrong but also damaging to business success, and most controversially, why focusing on across-the-board efficiency almost never helps us maximize profits. Wow. So if you missed this episode, you can listen to it on demand here on the Voice America Business Channel, as well as wherever you listen to podcasts, such as on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Pocket Cast, and others. And now, let me introduce my topic for today. Now, I'm going to do something very different today. I will actually do it solo. And the reason is that I'm actually in the Voice America studios in Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm here not only to visit with my good friends at Voice America, but also to be a speaker at the Conation Nation Symposium organized by Colby Corporation. So, the topic for today is cognitive fit. Well, obviously, it's related to what I'm going to be talking to a whole bunch of people tomorrow morning at Colby. So let me ask with a question. You are a business leader, right? So does your business ever have any issues like problems or difficulties or challenges? I'm sure it does. Otherwise, you would be actually even listening to this show. So how many times when you start digging into that issue, you actually discover that it ended up being essentially what I would call a people issue? In other words, somebody in your organization somewhere didn't quite do things the right way, or, you know, some things were not set up the right way by a bunch of people, or a team got their eyes off the ball. Very often, I would assume, because in my experience, coaching and consulting with leadership teams of mid-size or small to mid-size companies, that's actually the dominant source of a lot of the business issues that every single one of those businesses faces. So the reason I'm asking this question is ultimately we need to fix that root cause. And in the world that I come from, which is the world of implementing this wonderful and simple and concise and actually highly effective system for operating the business called the Entrepreneurial Operating System, this is actually referred to as strengthening the people component. You see, in the world of EOS, or the Entrepreneurial Operating System, every business has actually six key components that need to be strengthened. And the people component is about having the absolutely right people for the business, and those people need to be organized so that each one of them sits in the right seat or fulfills the right function for the business. So, let's see. The tool that EOS provides in order to strengthen this people component, the fundamental tool, is a tool called an accountability chart, which is actually sort of like an org chart, but on steroids. So imagine that you have essentially a structure for your business, for your organization, and for every single function in the organization, not only that function is clearly defined as to where is actually located in the business, so in other words, who is it reporting to and what are the sub-functions it reports to it, but also defines very, very clearly the roles and responsibilities for this function. So somebody who's actually fulfilling that function in the company, a human, obviously, will actually know at all times what kinds of responsibilities that person is actually held accountable for. That is called a seat in the accountability chart. So we define these accountability charts, we construct them, we design them very deliberately when we work with our clients and implement EOS. And the right people part of this famous Jim Collins sentence, right people in the right seats, the right people part is actually fulfilled by making sure that everybody in the organization is actually embracing or displaying the core values of that organization. But now the right seats part is actually the accountability chart, so that we make sure that all the functions and sub-functions and sub-sub-sub-functions within the organization are actually structured properly, so that with this structure, or this structure is the best structure to get the organization to the next level. And then we have this word in. Remember, right people in the right seats. And that is about putting the right person, a person who's the right person for the company, to be actually functioning in the right seat. Now, EOS by itself provides a wonderful little tool called GWC, which stands for getting, wanting it, and having the capacity to do it. So essentially there are three questions that we always answer. Does the person get that function? So is that person fundamentally well-structured for that function? Is that person wanting that function? You see, you know, some people actually don't want to do the job that they are supposed to do. And that will always be a problem. And then also, does that person have the capacity to do it? And by capacity, I mean a combination of things, the intellectual capacity, the emotional capacity, the time management capacity, and so forth and so on. So essentially, that tool tells us whether a person is roughly the right person for that seat. So these are the fundamental tools of EOS. So in every single seat in the accountability chart, as I said, we define the major roles and responsibilities for that seat. So essentially, we answer the question, what kind of responsibilities must the person or the persons that sit in that seat, that fulfill that function, fulfill? All right. So usually we list about five or so major functionalities, major responsibilities. So what if actually we extend this and add a second question? And the next question to answer is, what characteristics do people or do persons ideally suitable for this seat have? So you see, people are meant to do certain kind of jobs, not because they actually are kind of, you know, anointed that way, but because their internal structure makes it easier for them to carry on certain jobs. So, and it turns out that there are three kind of dimensions to answering this question. The first dimension is what we call the cognitive dimension. And this is about what the person knows how to do. So the kind of specific questions there would be, does the person have the right background, the right education, the right experience, the kind of level of experience, the right knowledge, the right skill set, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the cognitive part. And then there is the second one, which is what we call the affective, or say the behavioral part. So the same way the first part is about what does one know how to do, the second part is what does one want to do? What are one's desires, motivations, drive to actually doing the work that they're supposed to do in that particular seat? And then there is the third part, which is denoted with a very odd, because it's very uncommon, but very powerful word, which is the cognitive part. So the same way the cognitive is about what does one know how to do, the second, the affective or behavioral part is what does one want to do. The third, the cognitive part, is what does one end up doing based on that person's instincts? So what does that person's instincts drive that person on how to actually carry out that work? And that's the three-part answers. So right after the break, I know we are about to take a short break, but right after the break, I'll actually walk with you through a case study based on some work that I've done with a client of mine on how we actually use this powerful question, the cognitive question, to in fact strengthen the performance of not only one individual, but an entire department in this mid-sized company that I worked with. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, so don't go away.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com, or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Tune in to the Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy, with co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless. Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel, and simulcast at the same time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
What? whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host. And before we get back to my topic for this episode, I'd like to mention to you, our listeners, that there was a recent survey of more than 5,000 people that found more than 99% of employees say that to be a great manager, you have to be self-aware. So ask yourself that question. Do you really know what your strengths, your weaknesses, and your blind spots are as a manager? If you don't understand your natural behavioral drivers, not only are you hindering your chances for personal growth, but you're also throttling your team's productivity. If you've listened to Operationally Speaking before, you've probably heard me speak highly about the predictive index. Since 1955, the Predictive Index has been honing and developing their proprietary technology that enables organizations to maximize productivity both for individual contributors and throughout entire organizations. I've now partnered with PI to give you access to your own personalized management development chart. All you have to do is to take a free assessment that takes about 6 or 7 minutes to complete. And at the end, you'll get a personalized chart of your management strengths and weaknesses, along with communication and management tips. To take advantage of these truly remarkable insights, simply go to predictiveindex.com/operationally speaking and follow the instructions on the page. Or if you are listening to this episode on the operationallyspeaking.com site or page on Voice America, simply go to the top of the page and there's a banner. You just click through it and you end up on the predictiveindex.com/operationallyspeaking page. Follow the instructions. So now back to our topic, the cognitive fit. So, before the break, I mentioned that I will walk you through a case study, an actual experience, an actual practical experience of using that little question that we spoke about, which is, what does one's fundamental intuitions dictate that one does or how one goes about doing work, which is the cognitive part of our description of an ideal person to be occupying a seat in the accountability chart. So this case study actually involved a mid-sized company, a professional services firm. And when I started working with them, there were about 25 or so people. A year later, they grew to about 40 people or so. So it was essentially almost like a doubling in growth. And one particular department was actually the one that grew most. And that's the one that we focused on. And in this department, there were actually three types of seats or functions. Jobs, if you wish. Now, of course, everything that I'm going to say here is going to be masked by, you know, made-up names because I don't want to divulge the identity of my client. I always keep my clients, the work that I do with my clients, strictly confidential unless they actually go and are willing to talk about it publicly. So in this particular case, there were three kinds of seats in this particular department, and I call them here the soldiers, the captains, and the colonels, just using, you know, regular military hierarchical names, just to make it easier for everybody to understand. So vis-a-vis this this client, I served in two capacities. I both coached them and facilitated their implementation of the entrepreneurial operating system throughout the organization, as well as I was their Colby certified consultant. So that's the last part is the part that I'm going to focus on in my my story here. So we use Colby here for two fundamental purposes. One purpose was to help in the process of hiring a lot of people. As I mentioned, there was a lot of growth happening in this company, and that growth had to be made sure that is the right kind of growth, not only in terms of structuring all the people that were brought into the company, but making sure that these people are actually really highly suitable for the seats that they are brought in. As you can imagine, and I'm sure this correlates with your own experience, especially for small to medium-sized companies, bringing the wrong person in the organization may have sometimes very, very costly effects. So that's the kind of thing that we were trying to avoid. So, so with using the Colby system, essentially what we ended up doing was to describe what each one of those seats requires from a cognitive perspective. So let me explain what that actually means. What it means is that there is a certain kind of structure that's best suited for somebody to have. So a certain kind of set of instincts about how to do work that is best suited for a particular job. And how do we find that? Well, Colby, the Colby system, provides actually a tool that we use in conjunction with that job's managers and managers of managers, so two levels up and so forth. And we literally, the tool literally asks these people a bunch of questions. There are actually 24 exact questions. About that job, about what kind of person will function best. And not only that we're asking them, but we also are asking people who have been in that job and actually have performed extremely well. So we take all this information and ultimately we create a pattern that says, well, you know, if somebody has this kinds of characteristics from a cognitive perspective, remember, this is just one piece of the puzzle, and you'll hear me repeat this over and over. It's just one piece of the puzzle. There is also the behavioral, the affective part. There is also the cognitive, the what is it that people know, their experience, their knowledge, their education, and so forth. So that's not the only piece that comes into play. But on this part, on this cognitive part, if we have this pattern, then we can compare a candidate, for example, to this pattern and determine how different a candidate is from this ideal pattern. That doesn't really mean that people who are, as you'll see in a few minutes, people who are very different should not be hired. But we are actually now fully aware of certain kinds of challenges that the candidate or even an incumbent may have in fulfilling that function. Now, these particular patterns are actually described in the sense of, in the context of Colby, in four different dimensions. One dimension, which is called the fact-finding dimension, is about how that person structures or processes or communicates information. You have on one end of the spectrum people who are very detailed, very specific, in need always of all the facts. And then you have the other end of the spectrum of these people who are only needing the summary. They're always looking for the essence, who actually can get overwhelmed by too much detail, but they're only looking for the major major pieces of information. So that's the fact-finding. Then there is another dimension called the follow-through dimension, which is about how people structure stuff, how people deal with structure, with designs. So you have the ultra-structured people on one end and the flexible, fluid, shortcutting, seeking people on the other end. And the third dimension is the dimension of quick start. So this is about how people deal with a risk, with uncertainty, and you have the high risky seeking people on one end and the very conservative, very stability oriented people on the other end. And of course, I'm super simplifying all these descriptions. And then you have the fourth dimension that has to do, that's called the implementer dimension, which has to do with how people deal with tangible stuff. So you have the tangible, example-driven people on one end, and they have all ideas, concepts, abstraction people on the other end. It's the combination of these four dimensions that ultimately creates what's called Colby MO, or modus operandi, and actually allows us to describe, using the Colby system, the right pattern for these people vis-a-vis a particular function. So we created these patterns. They're called the ranges of success. And then we actually got to work. So we're going to take a break right now. And when I come back from the break, I will actually describe to you a little bit of the type of work that we did in using these patterns in both hiring new people, in the process of hiring, and how we actually dealt with exceptions, as well as in the process of managing and coaching the existing people in the organization so they can actually excel in their work. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
How is your work-life balance? In most businesses, no matter where you are positioned, there is always room for improvement. If you're an executive, learn insight about your business. Are you an employee? Learn how to better work with your team. Even if you're not in business, you can learn where your strengths and weaknesses can be played to their best potential. The Work-Life Balance with host Rick Morris can be heard live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
The This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and today we are talking about the cognitive fit. So before the break, I described to you the kind of a setup of a piece of work that I did with one of my clients using the Kolbe system to actually determine not only the right kind of structure that people must have vis-a-vis their instincts on how they do work, so that they can be most effective in a specific job. So let me describe to you exactly how this actually works. So I set up the context, and as you recall, we ended up with a whole bunch of patterns that we described using the Kolbe system called ranges of success. So first of all, that was the first phase. And then the next phase of this process was to take candidates for these various jobs, as well as the incumbents, the people who are already fulfilling these jobs, and get them through the Kolbe system so they can actually be assessed as to what their actual built-in cognitive structures are, to use the Kolbe terminology, what their MO or their modus operandi is along the lines of these four dimensions, as you recall, fact-finding dimension, the follow-through dimension, the quick start dimension, and the implementer dimension. And then, based on what we find out, to take certain actions, either hiring actions or non-hiring actions or coaching actions or other kinds of managerial actions, as you'll see, based on what we find out. All right? So in this particular case, so I'm going to actually, remember, I call these three types of functions or jobs in this department soldier, captain, and colonel. So I'm going to focus just on one of them, which is captain, and there are actually quite a few captains in this particular department, and we were hiring actually quite a few of them. We used this for hiring. So the company had a three-stage interviewing process. So everybody who went through the first two stages were required to be assessed using the Kolbe A index assessment. And that's essentially something that they did on the web. It was a kind of a 20-minute process, and they were asked to answer about 36 questions, and at the end of that came a description by the Kolbe system to me, to us, as to what is the cognitive profile of that person. What's their MO, if you wish, or what's their Kolbe MO, as it's called. So, along those four dimensions, Kolbe uses numerical values from 1 to 10. So, for example, my own personal Kolbe MO is 8-5-4-3. So it's 8, fact-finding, 5, follow-through, 3, quick start. I'm sorry, I got all confused. 8-5-4-3. So 8 fact-finding, 5 follow-through, 4 quick start, and 3 implementer. All right. So we took all these people through this process, and as a result, we got all of their Kolbe MOs. And then we compared them using exactly the same system to the requirements, for the patterns that we decided that are the best fit for that particular job, for the captain job. So the system actually produces almost like a grade. So grades the how different the person is from the ideal. So the grades, you know, the Colby system uses actually a almost like a school grading type of things through A through F, right? So a bunch of the people came up with A's and some with B's and some C's and some D's and some F's. And then there was the process of taking this information and adding it to the general other kinds of information that we collected about these people through the interviewing process. For example, what their knowledge is, what their experience is, what their skill sets are. We, you know, the company spoke with references and so forth. So all of these pieces were actually put into play to produce a decision. And the decision was, should we offer this job of a captain to this person or not? And sometimes the decision was yes, and it coincided with a high grade from a cognitive perspective, which makes sense. Of course, somebody who's cognitively very fit should have a higher chance, but not the only chance to be considered for that job, because there are other considerations. So somebody who is perfectly cognitively fit but doesn't have the cognitive, say, skill sets or the experience that's required, of course, will not qualify. So all of those pieces are actually used in conjunction with each other. But some people were actually offered jobs, and from a cognitive perspective, they were actually not quite fit. And it was interesting to figure out what was it that overrode our consideration from a cognitive fitness perspective. So, for example, in one case, there was a person that was hired as a captain, and actually that person scored very low from a cognitive perspective, actually a D. So the question was, why did we offer the job to that person? Well, it turns out that from a cognitive perspective, so from the perspective of what they actually knew how to do for their job, they were extremely high fit. They had a lot of experience in doing so. So that actually became the dominant factor. So essentially the business need, the business to have somebody who could in fact get in and start being productive right away, overrode our insight that person from a cognitive perspective actually is not very well fit to that position. Now, there are costs and benefits. The benefit is we get somebody right away and that person can be very productive. The costs are actually more long-term, because ultimately that person may find a lot of stress or may experience a lot of stress by trying to function in that particular job, in that particular seat, because of their strong difference between what that seat requires them to be like or to be doing work like and who they intuitively are as individuals, as humans. So that is a short-term versus a long-term type of trade-off. And of course, the company decided that perhaps they will actually provide the right kind of coaching so that a person can overcome that potential stress. So it becomes a managerial issue rather than a hiring issue. For example, in another case, we hired somebody who cognitively was came in as a C. But it turned out that for the position right above it, so this was for captain, so for the colonel position, that person was very, very well fit at an A level. So the thought was here, maybe for a short period of time that person will be cognitively not exactly perfectly fit to the captain position, but if the person does the right job and he gets promoted, in the long term, they may end up in a position where, from a cognitive perspective, they will be extremely highly fit. So those are the kind of considerations that we considered or we took at that level. So that was about hiring for the captain, applying this in the recruiting process. But we applied the same kinds of tools to look at the people who were inside the company already, so the incumbents. And we discovered that, yes, some people actually don't fit cognitively. And we already knew that because we noticed a fair amount of stress on their part, a fair amount of issues with these people actually doing work in a certain kind of way that would be perfect. So using those insights and coaching, and this is basically what I did with the middle managers as well as the head of that department, coaching them on how to use these insights, how to use this information to coach people, to manage people the right way so that they can actually be overcoming this particular misfit from a cognitive perspective, even though from a cognitive perspective, they were fairly well fit, and probably also from a behavioral affective way. Their way of being, the ways in which they behaved with respect to, say, clients or colleagues was actually the one that was required for their job. That was actually very well fit. So we use these insights again to strengthen the ability of those individuals to perform well in those positions. So we're going to take another break, and we come back. We will talk a little bit more about the specific type of coaching that incumbents received, as well as what was actually performed during this whole exercise, what kind of work I did, and how I delivered it to my client. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com, or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Higher education faces lots of changes. If you are a student, educator, or in the workforce, you'll want to tune into Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Your host, Dave Goldberg, and his guests will explore the innovations that higher education adopts as it reinvents itself. The world of higher education is constantly changing. Stay on top and stay ahead of the rest. Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Listen Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective, plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and today we are talking about the cognitive fit. So before the break, I spoke a little bit about the fact that we use these tools not only to recruit people, but also to get insights and learn how to best manage the people who are already in that, in those seats, in those functions inside the company, the people that I refer to as incumbents. So as I said, we found out that some of the people who are already inside the company were not really totally cognitively fit to the position they were holding. Some of them were, some of them were not. So what to do? Well, let me give a couple of concrete examples. So in one case, actually, the person was really, really very far from being fit. The grade that the Kolbe system gave that person was an F. So it turns out that that was actually totally coherent and totally in line with what everybody knew about that person. The person was actually temporarily hired to serve that role. The cognitive part was actually very well fit. Extremely well fit. In fact, that person was almost slightly overqualified for that particular position. But from a cognitive and even from an affective behavioral position perspective, the fitness was not quite there. So the person got a lot of coaching in the process, and time will tell whether they will, that person will be retained or not in that position. So that gives us actually, again, the tools to figure out, well, where is that misfit coming really out of, is it a something that somebody needs to be trained on, or something that somebody needs to be coached on? Two different kinds of managerial interventions to increase that person's effectiveness and performance in the job, and ultimately also that person's happiness in the job. So that was one case. There were a couple of other cases where we found that the cognitive fitness was, you know, mediocre, was in the C level. So, in one case, for example, the person was particularly well fit from a behavior perspective, and it turned out that would be very highly cognitively fit to the position above, to the colonel position. So that person may be, in fact, a good candidate for a later promotion once all these other elements actually starting fitting, such as experience and know-how and so forth. In another case, from a cognitive perspective, was a perfect fit, but again, there was an issue with the cognitive fitness. So we actually had some specifically additional work with one of the managers, the manager of that person, to teach him how to really deal with that person's level of stress that's caused by this misfitness of that person's cognitive traits versus what's actually perfectly required for that particular job. So the work that we did comprised a whole bunch of elements to it. First of all, it needed to comprise support in the hiring process. As you can imagine, for a company that goes from, say, 25 people to about 40 in just about a year or so, that's quite a bit of growth. And as I said, most of the growth happened actually in this particular department. So there was a fair amount of pressure to hire the right people, not only from a cultural perspective that they were right for the organization, but also right for the jobs they were hired for. So as I mentioned earlier in the show, we applied the Colby assessment to all the candidates that passed to the first two levels of interviews. And then once I got the reports back from the Colby system, I was able to support the hiring managers by providing a whole bunch of new questions to be addressed during the third and final interview. And those questions that had to do with, well, essentially how they would actually handle whatever it was that was misfitting that person to the job from a cognitive perspective. For example, let's say if somebody was too much of a fact finder, too much of a detail, and the particular job required more of a summarization type of thing, the question that I would ask the person is, well, have you had in the past situations where you got too much information, you felt overwhelmed by the information that you got in performing your job, and how did you handle that? So can you give us some examples? Or somebody, for example, who is less structured by nature but is applying for a job that requires a high level of structuring. Again, exploring past experiences in past jobs for that person and how they handled the requirement of the job to being actually more structured and so forth. So we used a whole bunch of tools from the Colby system arsenal. I mentioned the Colby A, which is the fundamental index or fundamental questionnaire that everybody goes to actually discover or assess that person's MO, or that person's cognitive profile. And then we use these tools that I alluded to, which is the range of success, creating the range of success for various positions, and then taking a person and identifying how fit they are to that position. That's called the right fit tool. And then in terms of training, there were two kinds of things that I did with this client. One is that I actually trained all the upper and middle level managers on how to really interpret, how to read all these Colby insights. The Colby system actually provides a fair amount of rich feedback or points of coaching through its reports, but one has to really understand what to do with them. So that's one piece as to how to actually use these pieces of information that come out of the system and how to really apply them in the day-to-day management of the folks that are your managees, your direct reports, and also how to in fact structure teams so teams function well. This is something that I have not really spoken too much about it in this hour, but there are actually characteristics that the Colby system can identify as to how it well or not so well a team would function given the people, the combination of MOs for the people who are actually members of this team. So that was a fascinating voyage, highly successful, speaking with the company CEO and some of the managers a year and a half into the process, I realized how much positive impact this whole approach has taken to making this company extremely, extremely performant. In fact, so performant that they ended up being, you know, exceeding quite a bit their expectations with respect to the results. So thank you again to all my listeners for spending this precious hour with me. Question I have for you. Did you hear anything today that was useful to you? Maybe something new? Anything that maybe reinforced something that you already knew or suspected? Let us know. by writing to us at host@operationallyspeaking.com. And don't forget to point your business friends and colleagues to Operationally Speaking. And of course, share your thoughts about today's episode on your favorite social media. Now, to find out how we can turn your organization into a well-oiled, finely tuned execution machine so you can break through any limiting ceilings, align the right people in the right seats, and skyrocket your business value, give us a call at 617-731-3132 or email us at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. And I promise you'll never regret that call, ever. So see you again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern or 12 noon Pacific. And until then, make it an operationally sound and a joyous, highly performing week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Operationally Speaking. Be sure to join your host, Sergio Semel, for another great program 1 week from today. We're live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. In the meantime, you can reach Sergio for additional questions at 1-617-731-3132 or by email at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that is os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Enjoy your upcoming weekend, and may you and your business make it a smooth and successful week.